This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Rick Santorum surges in Iowa. So when does political popularity translate into financial support?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The global perspective in a moment. First, a squeaker in Iowa as voters pick their candidates in caucuses across the state. Mitt Romney bested Rick Santorum by just 8 votes. Each candidate got about 25%. Santorum's last-minute rise in Iowa came without a large campaign war chest. The former Pennsylvania senator traveled the state on a shoestring budget. So will his strong showing equate to more money for his campaign? Here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
At one time or another, Michelle Bachmann, Newt Gingrich, and Rick Santorum surged in popularity in Iowa. Yet Colby College government professor Tony Corrado says their campaign fundraising remains lackluster at best.
If you really want to raise significant amounts of money, you have to show that you can win or that you're going to be one of the leading contenders. And they haven't been able to do that.
Fundraising by challengers has been particularly difficult this year. That's because independent groups called super PACs can raise and spend unlimited cash. Bill Schneider is a longtime campaign observer.
The super PACs are clearly making it tough because an establishment candidate who is well-connected or who's seen as a winner, which is Romney's big advantage, that candidate can raise tons of money.
But he says conservative Republicans are still auditioning alternatives to Mitt Romney. Once one or two other candidates show they can win early primaries, he says they'll start attracting money too. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
All right, now the global perspective on business and economics. Sinopec, one of China's largest oil companies, says it's going to spend billions of dollars on a partnership to drill for natural gas in Ohio. That's where this week seismologists blamed the drilling method known as fracking for a rare magnitude 4.0 earthquake. So why are Chinese oil companies entering into one of the most controversial environmental debates in the United States? Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz explains.
Natural gas wells where fracking is used to get at the gas are rare in China.
I think there's less than 100 wells at this point in China, whereas in the States, you know, there's thousands and thousands.
Energy analyst Nate Taplin of Dragonomics says Chinese energy companies like Sinopec want to learn more about fracking from U.S. energy companies because they'd like to build thousands and thousands of wells, too.
They're just at the beginning of this process, and they don't really have much technical expertise at all. So I think that's the main motivation for them, most likely.
The main motivation for Sinopec to spend $2.5 billion on its deal with Devon. If China had the right technology, the U.S. government estimates it could tap into more gas reserves than the U.S. and Canada combined. Learning the finer points of fracking will help China exploit these reserves while relying less on importing natural gas from other countries. China's government is even offering energy companies incentives to begin fracking as soon as possible. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Now, European markets are mostly lower at the moment, but shares in London are slightly higher right now. There was some positive news today from across the pond. Inflation in the 17-country Eurozone fell in December. Asian markets were mixed today. Wall Street yesterday, indeed a happy new year for markets here at home to kick off 2012. The Dow Jones Industrials average tacked on about 179 points, about 1.5% to close at 12,397.
American Public Media announces the Splendid Tables new book, How to Eat Weekends, with dozens of new recipes, now available at bookstores nationwide.
Even though troops have exited Iraq, the debate about how much the U.S. spent there and whether it was worth it continues in this country. But in Afghanistan, Tens of thousands of American forces are still on the ground. Of course, no war is just about dollars and cents, but that's what we're focusing on today. So we turn to the Globalist editor-in-chief, Stefan Richter, who's with us now to quiz us on what we know about the cost of American involvement in Afghanistan. Hey, Stefan.
Good morning, Steve. Are you ready?
I am ready. Hit me.
So here's today's quiz.
All right.
The United States currently spends about $115 billion a year on military operations and related costs in Afghanistan.
Okay.
We also rely on the United Nations for support in that country, as well as on foreign partners around the world. But let's compare the level of U.S. spending in Afghanistan to all U.S. spending on the United Nations.
All right.
Where do we invest more money? That's my question to you today. Is it A, that we invest just 1/20th as much in the U.N. as we spend every year in Afghanistan?
1/20th, okay.
Or is it that for every dollar we spend on military operations in Afghanistan, we spend just a quarter on the U.N., or do we spend about the same on both?
I knew for a while there, the U.S. hadn't paid its U.N. bill. There's mm-hmm. always been that little piece of information that's been out there. But I'm gonna take a guess, hopefully an educated guess, and say that it's a nickel for every dollar, 1/20th.
That is absolutely correct.
Wow.
But it is shocking, isn't it?
It is shocking. It is shocking. It's not much money.
For the U.N., it wasn't a billion. We spend $6.4 billion. As of 2009, a year, on everything that the United States dispenses on the U.N. And that's the equivalent of basically what we spend in about 2 or 3 weeks in Afghanistan. But it gets worse. The U.S. spends as much on military operations in Afghanistan as the rich countries give to poor countries in the same year.
Wow.
And whether that always gets us ahead and gets us the bang for the buck that we would hope, that is a very open question that ultimately, of course, history will determine.
That history certainly will determine. All right, Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief of theglobalist.com. Stefan, thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
And finally this morning, German engineers have developed an office lighting system that mimics the sky's natural light on a cloudy day. Imagine working at your desk but feeling like you're outside. The system is made up of luminous ceiling squares, each with more than 280 different colored LED lights. Altogether, those colors emit a full spectrum that simulates different light patterns of the sky. Now, the system's expensive right now. Each of those panels goes for about $1,300 each. The engineers say they've been approached by several companies looking to install the lights in their conference rooms. A meeting, like a picnic in a park. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The economy's better, but still not great, and it affects all of us, of course, but also countries that are far, far away.
We then had 2.4 million people in crisis. The prices had doubled, and the outlook was not good.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the macroeconomics of food aid and the news from Wall Street as well. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.